love to worship here. Thanks, you guys, for putting the time in. First week of classes, it's amazing how gifted they are that they could just come and do that. No one has ever asked me to sing with a microphone. I just want you to know. But I sing anyway. I hope you come and you have the freedom to honestly cry out and sing out to God here. That's what we want, honest worship. So thank you for coming. My name is David. I'm the director here. And I want to, again, echo what Caleb just said about just welcoming everybody that's new. And certainly welcoming back all you guys that have been around for a while. And we're eager to see God do some amazing, marvelous, lovely things this year in our lives, in your lives. And we trust that He'll do that. We trust that He will, that He's already at work doing that. So you probably already heard a bunch. We hope you've gotten information from us, but you know we're having a pig party tomorrow, right? You know we're doing that. Rain or shine, we are having a pig party. Just want you to know. And if any of you are interested, you can hang out after this, because that's when the fire in the pit's going to get lit. And a handful of these guys are going to stick around literally all night getting those coals to about 3 feet deep until they can put the pig in the pit and cover it up and let it cook until about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be good. And it's just going to be fun. We're going to do some square dancing, maybe some line dancing, that kind of stuff. But mainly it's just to reach the campus. So if you've got some friends you'd like to invite, everybody's welcome. We'd love for you to do that. One thing you should know is we are going to block off the parking lot later tonight, because you know we're going to need the whole parking lot for the party tomorrow. And so when you come for the party, you can park in that lot that's just adjacent to us, just north of here in the Newman Center. And probably the best other overflow lot is going to be right over here, kind of catty corner from us. Now that they're doing construction here, we can't park right there. But where the physics and chemistry buildings are, some of you guys know where that is, just right across here. Just park there and then cross over and come to the party. So you can pass the word on that. So I do want to say, in addition to welcome to all the new folks, there are two people that I really do want to say a special welcome to. That's Sean and Ian. Sean's there. I don't know where Ian is. There's Ian, there's Sean, and you know, I'm not going to embarrass them, bring them up, but they just came back from 2 years serving in our partner city in East Asia, working on a major university campus over there, just trying to share the gospel. And so just haven't been back that long, and we're excited to have them here tonight. So I know you guys will want to welcome them if you haven't already had a chance. If you got your Bible, we're going to be in John chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, these guys have some. They're coming forward. You're certainly welcome to borrow one for the night. And if, in fact, you just happen to make it all the way to NMSU without a Bible, we'll be happy to give you one of these if you'd like one. Hey, another thing that's happening next week at Crimson, I get pumped about this. You know, a week from Saturday, okay, so on the 25th, it's our first Aggie football game. We play Wyoming. It's going to be a tough game. But it's also going to be on ESPN2. It's going to be on national television. It's a big time for NMSU. And we're excited. And guess who's going to be here next week at Crimson to share with you how much he loves Jesus? Coach Doug Martin, our head football coach. He's going to be here. And he's going to come in and just kind of share a brief testimony. I'll interview him a little bit. I know you'll want to be here, pass the word. This guy's a great coach. And, you know, I've known him for a long time, since back in 2011 when he got here as the offensive coordinator. And loves the Lord, and he really seeks to honor the Lord in the way that he coaches and the way he influences the players. So it'll be a privilege for us to have him just for a few minutes at the beginning. Don't be late, because it's going to be right at the beginning of Crimson next week, okay? Let me pray. God, we invite you to have your way right here, right now. God, I so want to thank you for everyone that's here. And I want to thank you for the rain, Lord. God, thank you for the way you replenish the earth. And God, help us to make the most of this time right now. Help us to not only worship you when we're standing and singing, but also when we're hearing your word, when we're reading your word. Let that be an act of worship as well. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see the title slide for John chapter 4 is Eye Openers. You know, if you want to kind of think about that, what is an eye opener? We use that phrase and you guys would all be able to define it, but it's kind of that something that drastically changes your perspective. You know, you've probably had an eye opener. And, you know, I want to talk about some eye openers in John chapter 4. Maybe even this week you've had some eye openers. You know, just getting back into the dorms or back onto the campus or that syllabus that you thought, wait, what? You know, that could be. Or, you know, I was just talking to some of our students earlier, and it's like, I think some subtle eye-openers that new students get when they come to campus is how lonely it can be. Surrounded by thousands of other students, hundreds of other students in the dorm or in the apartments, and yet kind of feel, you know, how can I be lonely? That can be an eye-opener. Certainly, there are questions of morality on our campus. Man, we pray for wise and discerning decisions on those kinds of things, but there can be stuff. Let me tell you another one that's serious. You might laugh at this, but if you haven't already figured it out, University Avenue is a dangerous street. It is. I mean, just watch it when you're crossing the street, whether you're in the crosswalk or not. I personally know a guy that got hit, run down by a car in the crosswalk last year. And so that's an eye-opener. Don't assume that just because you have the right-of-way that everybody else is going to remember that or that they're going to see that. That's a big one. I hate to say it, but it seems like almost every year someone gets hit, either on campus or on University Avenue. That's a big one. I have an eye-opener. In April, this spring, our son, Micah, he's our oldest son, and his wife, Annie, were in town. And we were all having dinner. Caleb, Micah's younger brother, our youngest son, and Tim, Nystrom, Annie's brother, they're both here tonight. We were all having dinner at Andelay. We're in the doghouse at Andelay and enjoying stuff. And, you know, my daughter was there, too, and her birthday had just passed. And so Annie, my daughter-in-law, picked up a little gift bag and handed her a gift. So it's like, okay, that's nice. Everybody's kind of smiling and stuff. And she pulls out the gift, and it's a onesie that says Auntie. And I mean, I just about went through the, wait, what? I'm a little grandpa! Are you kidding me? And I was about that loud, man. It was like, oh, yeah, we just started praying. It's like, I think everybody in Andelay was going, what's going on over there? That was an eye-opener. That was so awesome the way they did that. They surprised us, but it was like, I couldn't believe it. I am a grandpa. I mean, the baby's going to be born in December, but all of a sudden, I'm a grandpa? So those are kinds of eye-opener kinds of things, right? And so, fun stuff. Let me tell you another one. This is, like talking about Ian and Sean being overseas in East Asia. Some of you guys have been overseas, and, you know, I make a trip typically every year to our partner cities overseas, and I also, combined with that, I also lead a coach's Bible study for the football coaches. And this past spring when I was getting ready to go overseas, I was in the coach's Bible study, and one of the coaches, Coach Bell, he's a defensive backs coach, started asking me questions. He hadn't ever really traveled overseas at all. And he started just asking me questions about stuff. And so, you guys know what a squat pod is? Okay, some of you know what that is. It's like, you know, in some countries, like China and other places, they don't sit on the toilet. There's this ceramic foot place with a hole between them, and you put your feet on there, and then you squat. I mean, and I was telling Coach Bell that. I don't think he's ever going to be the same. I mean, his eyes were like this. I mean, he just could not. That was an eye-opener to him. He goes, Dave, you got to take a picture for me, man. So I brought him back a picture. I told him, hey, and sometimes people from those kinds of countries come to the United States and they look at our toilets and they go, and literally, some of you have seen footprints on our toilet seats where people have gotten up there and squatted. Eye-openers. You know, it's just funny. It's the unexpected. That's the fun part of it. It can be overwhelming. It can be funny, but or even stunning. And that's what I want to get to in John chapter 4. I'm going to bounce around a little bit, so open your Bibles, or if you got it on your phone or whatever, go with me. But John 4 really kind of reveals a stunning sequence of eye-openers that I think if you read it just casually, you might not notice. You might not necessarily, you might get part of it. Let me start with chapter 4, again, verses 25 and 26. Eye-opener number one. Jesus has been talking to this woman at the well. She's a Samaritan woman. And I won't go into a lot of detail there. Just know that she's not Jewish. She's not from the Jewish background. Okay? And he's been talking about himself. And look at verse 25. The woman says, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us." So she has this view of the Messiah. She understands there's going to be a Messiah. She's looking for the Messiah. And then Jesus, look what he says in verse 26. And Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Oh, eye opener. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being that woman? You've just gone to the well outside of town with your water jar to fill it up to go back to your home. Nothing eventful at all. And all of a sudden this Jewish man approaches you, which is, if you know anything about the culture, that was outside of the culture. It was a little awkward. But Jesus didn't care, right? He loves everybody. He goes and talks to the least likely person around the well. He talks to this woman. And he's kind and gracious. But he's also forthright. It's God himself in the flesh. And all of a sudden, this woman's eyes are open. "I who speak to you am he." You ever done that? You ever met someone, been around someone you didn't realize who it was? Like, "Oh, are you kidding me?" We did that one time. My kids and I were backpacking up in the Pecos Wilderness way back when they were little guys. And we had come up off of Jack's Creek, if you guys know where that is, up the trailhead there, and we're heading up toward Pecos Baldy Lake. And we were hitting some of the switchbacks, and as we were hitting the switchbacks going up, we noticed these two women that were coming back down the trail. They had just been on a day hike, apparently, no packs, and they were coming down the trail. So we stopped at one of the turns, kind of stepped aside. They let us go by, or we let them. We were tired, so we let them go by. And they stopped and said, "Hey, how you doing? Where you going?" Da, 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 talk, you know, on. As we started to hike, Leah, who's like 12 years old at that time, says, "Dad, wasn't that Julia Roberts?" And I'm hiking, I'm going, "Yeah." I had no idea. I mean, it's just out of place. You know, it's like you wouldn't expect it. You know, of course, she didn't have on her movie makeup. She's just a woman hiking out in the woods. It's like we walked right by her. Probably blessed her socks off by not recognizing her, right? So, but yeah, we can do that. Eye opener. And that's certainly what's happened in this woman's life. She had other ideas of who God was. It never crossed her mind that a man at the well would be the Messiah. So eye opener number one. Wow. Okay. Eye opener number two. Look at verses 28 and 29. Verses 28 and 29. Says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did.'" Could this be the Christ, the Messiah? And then look at verse 39. "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony," quote, "he told me everything I ever did." Eye opener number two, the woman's eyes were opened to the Messiah. Not only did he declare that he was the Messiah, but her eyes were opened to that. Perspective change. All of a sudden, small things seemed small, appropriately. And all of a sudden, I don't know if you caught that, it's a subtle part of verse 28, but she just left her water jar. She left the water jar that she came to get water with, she just left it at the well. And she went back to town. Small things became small. And better things took over. And that was, you know, you want to think of it, Did she need water? Yeah, of course. It's not like she's never going to drink water again. It was just that all of a sudden, because her eyes were open, that wasn't important right there. Have you ever had that feeling before the Lord where he's unveiled, he's revealed himself to you in some way, he's spoken to you through the Word or through a friend sharing with you, and all of a sudden it's like, man, all this stuff I've been thinking about doesn't matter. That's kind of where she was. She found treasure. It's like that verse in Matthew 13, 44, where it says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he buried it again and went and sold all he had in his joy and bought that field. She found treasure. She found something better than she had. Her eyes were open. Her eyes were open. You know, I've been telling some people this. To me, this is a monumental semester. Because, okay, don't get confused by what I'm about to say. Just listen to me. Get past how old I am, okay? But 40 years ago, in the fall of 1978, I walked onto this campus for the first time as a junior, a transfer student. And within just a month or so, I had fallen in love with Jesus. First time I ever walked in this building was like in September or something. These guys, people just like you, found me, encouraged me, helped me, included me on their intramural teams, you know, just did life with me. And before I knew it, by October, I was in love with Jesus. I was reading my Bible for the first time in my life. I'm telling you, for the first time in my life, I'd never opened my Bible, really. I was having what they called a quiet time that I'd never heard of before. I was even, by the end of that semester, starting to actually memorize verses from the Bible. Man, talk about an eye-opener. It was like all of a sudden, I found something better. It wasn't like I had to throw away everything I'd ever done in my life and say that was all garbage. But compared to what I found, it was like garbage. I mean, 40 years ago. Man, I'm so grateful that God opened my eyes that fall. I'm so grateful to God. And you know, that woman went to town. She went back to her town and she declared, she told these guys, open your eyes. Come and see. Come and really see. Could this be the Christ? Told me everything I ever did. Now, think about it. If you've read the story, we didn't read the verses, but really, we know that some of what Jesus told her was her sin. She did not have a great relationship record in her past. She'd been married 5 times, and right now she wasn't living with a man she was married with. So he told me everything I ever did. And yet, even though somehow God, through His Spirit, by the voice of His Son, spoke conviction into this woman's life, she realized, this is better than anything I ever had. Have you ever felt that? Even when God, in such a personal way, speaks into your life to convict you of your sin, convict you when you're wrong, there's something sweet about that. Yeah, does it hurt in some ways? Does it make us think, oh man? But it does. Hopefully it doesn't make us run from Him. It makes us realize, Jesus, thank you for opening my eyes. And that's what she went back and told me. I mean, she wasn't the most respectable citizen in town, probably. He told me everything I ever did. She found something better when her eyes were open. I open to number 3. Look at verse 35. This is interesting. Now, the disciples, by the way, during all this time, had gone to town before Jesus started talking to the woman to get food. And when they came back, Jesus had already ate. I mean, you can read it. That was my paraphrase. And they're thinking, where'd you eat? What do you mean? We went to, there's no fast food places out here at the well. You know, so anyway, they came back. And Jesus says some cool stuff here. Look at verse 30. Start with 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. We could go on and read, but there's the eye opener. Open your eyes. Jesus is commanding the disciples to open their eyes. Their eyes are at least partially closed if they're not completely blind to what God's doing, what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. I think there's some pretty interesting stuff going on here. The disciples' eyes needed to be opened. And Jesus is, what they need to be open to is, Jesus is at work. And they don't see it. Why? Well, just like us, sometimes their biases and their assumptions blinded them to seeing what God was doing in the life of this Samaritan woman. Okay, the Jews and the Samaritans weren't like the best of buddies. There was animosity there. We could go into more detail, but there was some ethnic tension for sure there, both ways. And that had blinded the disciples. I think as I read this, as I study this, I think what was happening was Jesus was saying, hey, I value these people. I value the people, the Samaritans, and I want you to open your eyes so you will too. It's like that song we sang, He Reigns. Man, all over the world, Jesus values people. And the disciples were blinded by their own passions, by their own biases, so maybe by their own task-oriented mentality. They've got to go to town and get food. Could be a lot of different things that keep us from seeing clearly. And he's saying, do you see it? I love all people. I love even the Samaritans. They needed to see that. This wasn't just a rest stop on their journey through Samaria back to Judea. It wasn't. Jesus went there on purpose. He had a plan for being there, and the disciples missed that, at least in the early part of this. So that's number three. Number four, eye-opener, is verse 42. Look at verse 42. The woman goes back. She shares with the folks in the town and tells them, this is a man told me everything I ever did. And just start with 39. It says, many of the Samaritans of that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. 42. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now, we've heard for ourselves, and we know this man really is the Savior of the world. Their eyes had been opened. They had heard. They had even believed prior to that. But now their eyes were open. They were absolutely convinced. No doubt they had their own blinders. Sure they had. They'd had their own blinders. They were blind to the woman. Like I said earlier, she wasn't the most respected person in town, probably because of her relationship issues. But she comes back and somehow, and think about that, guys. That didn't stop her from going back and saying, I found the treasure. They were blind to the love of God. And to some degree, that was because of God's people and the way they treated the Samaritans. But they spent 2 days with Jesus. Did you get that? Jesus was going to leave. They said, no. Please spend some time with us. And he stayed 2 days. And as a result, many more became believers. Jesus opened their eyes. Now they know without a doubt that this man really is the Savior of the world. Eye opener. Just sequence after sequence of stunning eye openers. Let me finish this up. Let's transition back to the disciples. Jesus had said to them, open your eyes. Look at the fields. Can you imagine? I mean, think about this. Think about how overwhelming this might have been to the disciples. I mean, their world was turned upside down. They went from having a bias that they didn't even think was bad to toward these Samaritans, to seeing Jesus declare the value and the love that he had for them. Man, were their eyes open? Was their world turned upside down? It was. And it didn't happen automatically for them. This was going to be a process as they're walking with Jesus, and he's going to continually be dealing with people that would be considered unclean. But really, the point here was, open your eyes. The fields are whitened to harvest. In other words, look at the Samaritans that are coming to faith right here because of this woman's testimony, and the disciples would have never even thought about that unless Jesus had opened their eyes. That's a powerful thought. Completely changed their view of Jesus and of the different peoples of the world. It was to them, when they're sitting around their campfire at night or hanging out by the lake or whatever they were doing, they would have said, this is unheard of. This is unheard of. What just happened today? They're kind of scratching their head. So, let me just say this. Oh, man, my heart longs for the fall of 2018 to be like that. That it would be an eye-opener for us, for every one of us. That our eyes would be open, that God would do things in such a way that we would look back, we would reflect, we would talk to each other and say, it's unheard of. I've never heard of anything like that before. How could that happen? I never even considered that to be possible. Oh, that would happen. Habakkuk 1:5, just an obscure minor prophet in the Old Testament. But the Lord says, excuse me, the Lord says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder. In other words, open your eyes. Get that? For I'm doing something in your day you would not believe even if you were told. God was doing something during Habakkuk's day. And later on in chapter 3, Habakkuk replies to the Lord and says, oh Lord, I've heard of what you've done and I'm filled with awe. Now, do again in our times the great deeds you used to do. Be merciful even when you're angry. That's our prayer this semester. That God would do unheard of things. That he would do what we've heard of in the past, but it's been long ago. Oh, that God would do that. He's opening our eyes. God doesn't hide from us. Did you get that from this story? Jesus wasn't concealing himself from this woman. Jesus was revealing himself to that woman. He declared, I who speak to you am he. Ezekiel 40, verse 4. Let me finish with this. Thank you, Alex. Take the lid off, please. Thank you very much. Isaiah 40, verse 4 says, the man said to me, son of man, look with your eyes, hear with your ears, and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you, because that's why I brought you here. Tell everyone everything you see. I'm going to say that again. Listen to it. Son of man, look with your eyes, hear with your ears, and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you, because that's why I brought you here. Tell everyone everything you see. Why did God bring you here? He wants you to open your eyes. He wants you to hear with your ears. He wants you to pay attention. And just like that unsuspecting Samaritan woman, he wants you to run back to the campus and say, come and see. Open your eyes. He wants you to tell everyone everything you've seen. He wants all of us to do that. And before we can do that, I'm just going to say to this, say to this crowd, there may be some of you who right now are having your eyes opened to the reality of Jesus for the first time. Just like that woman. And Jesus has said, it is me. I who speak to you am he. And the invitation that he implied to the woman and he certainly declares to you through the word is, everyone who calls on my name will be saved. If you've never opened your eyes and acknowledged, declared to be true that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and you've given your life to Him, take right now. Right now. You could do that while I'm speaking. Jesus, forgive me. Please come into my life. Take me. It's going to be better than anything I'll ever imagine. Because it's better. It's the treasure. It's worth going and selling everything you got. So I want to say to you, it may be one, it may be 10 of you. Don't walk out of this room tonight thinking, yeah, I probably should do that. No. Walk out of this room saying, I'm so glad I did that. So I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody just bow with me. But if you're ready to trust Jesus, I want you to voice this prayer silently to the Lord. Oh God, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I know now, I see now that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I want Him. I want Him. Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my life.